Salesforce is a roughly $45 billion run rate revenue business, and they are over 25 years old. And Anthropic added more than a whole Salesforce in run rate revenue in less than a year. The scale is huge, and the growth rate at scale is even more exceptional.
Rumors of a multi-trillion Anthropic IPO coming this fall. Frank, what do you make of these rumors? There's also been, they've been growing crazy fast, faster than any software company in the history of the world, and expectations that they could potentially sustain 10x growth over the next year. What do you make of all of these rumors? And then, of course, let's get into Grok and Grokbot, which we're being told is the AI moment, another Claude co-work. It's the moment. It's happening again. Version 2, again, this time a different company. Is this a total transformation in how people are going to use AI? But let's start Anthropic IPO rumors, what you make of potential revenue growth.
Okay, yeah, two amazing topics. On Anthropic, Anthropic's an exceptional company for so many reasons. They focused, really singularly on the enterprise opportunity and essentially delivering knowledge work productivity, which, I mean, even in our own modeling, we think is a much bigger opportunity, at least in the near term, than the consumer opportunity because of how much the world spends on knowledge worker wages. And they are capturing more of that opportunity than anybody else right now. The latest rumors, to give a sense of scale, are that Anthropic is somewhere in the $70 to $80 billion of annual run rate revenue. Which sounds like almost normal now because so many people are repeating it, but they started the year at $9 billion. So they've if they're at the $80 billion, they've nearly 10x'd their run rate revenue, and we're not even three quarters through the year yet. So they're kind of continuing this pace of 10x growth year on year or faster through 2026 at a much bigger scale than they had in prior years, which is just
Frank,
astounding.
Before you continue, can you contextualize that? $70 billion. What does that compare to other software companies? And then I know we were talking at Brainstorm, not just Anthropic, but Anthropic plus OpenAI compared to Microsoft. How do we think about how big these numbers are?
So for reference, Salesforce is a roughly $45 billion run rate revenue business. It's one of the first, truly cloud software companies. And they are over 25 years old. And Anthropic added more than a whole Salesforce in run rate revenue in less than a year. So the scale is huge, and the growth rate at scale is even more exceptional. If you add the latest rumor from OpenAI, they had an internal meeting that leaked out, was that they have crossed $40 billion in run rate revenue. So if you add OpenAI and Anthropic together, you're somewhere north of $100 billion in run rate revenue. And Microsoft's basically application software business, and they call it their business and productivity division, which is now their second largest segment. Their own intelligent cloud segment became larger than it in recent quarters. OpenAI and Anthropic are on that scale now and on pace to be larger than that by the end of the year if these growth rates continue. So the combination, let's say the frontier agent and model companies, would be the biggest category, if you combined OpenAI and Anthropic, of software after Microsoft Office and surrounding software suites.
It's pretty crazy, especially given that almost everyone is using Microsoft.
Well, I actually, it's funny you say that because I was having a conversation with Kathy this morning, and I used that example of every business, for the most part outside of China, is either a Microsoft shop or a Google shop, and it's a base subscription for just like hiring an employee in modern day that is non-negotiable. It's just like everybody gets either like Outlook and the Microsoft Office suite or a Google account, and it's like the cost of doing business. And we're kind of evolving into a world where right now, it's ChatGPT and Claude are kind of the go-to product that you roll out to your new employees when they join. And that feels like the new general-purpose productivity tool that everybody's going to get. They're probably still going to buy. Like, I don't think Microsoft Office is going away on any sort of near or midterm time horizon. Same with Google's products. But the incremental spend is flowing to these new general-purpose productivity tools. And I will throw in Copilot's there. Large enterprises, they're defaulting to the Microsoft stack if it makes sense for them. But I don't think those customers are expanding at quite the rate that we're seeing on Anthropic and OpenAI based on those run rate revenue numbers. If they were, Microsoft's revenue would be accelerating and accelerating even more quickly than it is just based on the cloud business.
Right. Well, I was going to take a slightly different direction there, which is I agree it's becoming the default, but it's like that's Microsoft's revenue base at a fully penetrated state. And it's like clearly the frontier models are not even close to fully penetrated, right? It's like becoming a necessary hiring tool for tech companies. But I would say, you know, when we look at the adoption, and, you know, you're more in the weeds on this than I am, but we're still, the last comparison I think that I saw that we published was, it's like, you know, 1994 relative to the internet adoption here. So it's already trumped Microsoft revenue, but its penetration.
Well, on pace to Trump,
on pace to Trump by the end of the year. And it's way earlier in its adoption cycle here. I think, you know, the scale of the opportunity is blowing people's minds.
It is. It really is. And you know, the my wife's company, multiple 100,000 person global company, it's giant. And they don't even have access to Copilot Cowork, which Microsoft is just rolling out. And so my wife pays for her own Claude subscription so she can use these high-powered agentic tools because her company is too slow in rolling them out. And I think that is just like such a good signal for where the value is when employees are willing to pay for their own subscriptions because the tool is so makes their job so much better when they have access to it. And OpenAI's number, for example, they have released from time to time their number of agentic users across ChatGPT Work and Codex. And they announced they were at 10 billion, and then they said they're way past that, so we don't know exactly what it is more recently in the last few weeks. But there's roughly 70 million knowledge workers in the U.S., and globally we estimate there is a billion. There's a chunk of those that are in China and probably not addressable for these U.S. companies. But I think that scale of just 10 million users of OpenAI agent products versus a billion knowledge worker TAM is just so underpenetrated. If you assume everybody only has one agent in the future, when in reality, we're starting to see people manage teams of agents, right? The TAM is bigger than what the total labor force is today in the fullness of time. You know, it's hard to get to that scale, but.
In the fullness of time, so poetic. But Frank, let's jump back to the topic. Okay, the rumors of a $2 to $3 trillion valuation upon IPO here. You know, the naysayers are saying, you know, token subsidization. These companies are burning money left and right, so there will be a ton of attention to the S1. Speculation as to whether or not they could 10x revenue again in 2027. How are you thinking about all of this, given the timing and how soon this could happen?
So Anthropic announced they filed their private S1. We see the rumors surfacing, and usually when there's smoke, there's fire. So like we assume they're going to look to come to the market sometime in the not so distant future. And if you think of the trajectory they're on, to put in context, what a $2 trillion IPO would be, they will be probably in the near 100 billion run rate revenue range in the not too distant future if they hit 100 to 120 billion by the end of the year, and growing multiples every year, and presumably will continue a greater than 100% growth rate into 2027. I think that would be reasonable. That would put a $2 trillion IPO on 100 billion of run rate revenue at 20 times run rate revenue. That's a lower multiple than
the SPAC era, right?
A lower multiple than a lot of things when you think about it. Like there are public software companies, the premium ones like Cloudflare and Palantir, that are being dubbed AI winners that are trading in the 30s on next 12-month sales. So Anthropic coming out at 20, if they did do that, would be actually lower than some of the highest priced software companies in the public markets, and they're growing more quickly. And on top of that, I think this is what will be most interesting in the S1, and I can't wait to see the market's reaction to it. But you have the skeptics in the market and the bears that are saying that these companies are burning money hand over fist, and the public markets won't stand for it. And that's when the music stops, when we see how these companies are not profitable and they're subsidizing tokens. And then there are the rumors that these companies may be more profitable than you think, or that Anthropic might have even had a positive operating profit in Q2. And if that's the case, I think that will be a surprise to some and very positive for the story of the actual value that's being created with AI, that this is not all VC-subsidized spending, that this has real positive long-term economics. And that's what we fundamentally believe, which is why we're so bullish on the opportunity.
All right. So then out there, I think we saw, right, there is Gavin Baker on the All In podcast. They were talking revenue in the 400 to 500 million for 2027. Brad
billion.
Gerstner.
Billion.
Billion. Billion. Brad Gerstner out there with a tweet where, you know, we're recording this on Monday, saying, you know, no, that's too high, 200 to 250. What do you think is, who do you think's right?
I mean, I think Anthropic talks about this cone of uncertainty. And I think there is this cone of uncertainty because they're growing at a scale that no company has ever grown. I think Brad's tweet makes the comparison of, you know, 400 to 500 billion of revenue puts them, you know, the size of Google or bigger by the end of next year on a run rate basis. He felt that seemed extreme, and he said 250 billion. That's still just fundamentally incredible. And it would be, if they ended the year at 120 billion, it would be like a little more than doubling their run rate revenue, so growing 100% plus. I would say that's reasonable. I think that makes sense to me, given how big we think the TAM is. And I would also say that if you look at you know, some of the forecasts for these companies just 2 years ago, that puts them on a trajectory by 2030 to be a lot bigger than even the management team was willing to put into their forecasts. I think the internal numbers and what they show to investors and what gets leaked out to the press are probably different. I think the internal Anthropic team probably couldn't be more bullish right now, and they think this 10x growth can continue, which it could, but it's dependent on a lot of things. I mean, I think the two biggest would be, one, getting access to enough compute, which maybe is our tie into SpaceX here. And then the second is growing at that scale, you inevitably hit adoption barriers where companies have to start realizing, okay, I might spend $1,000. Let's say my AI power needs
the customer needs the customer needs to start getting.
Yeah, exactly, ROI. Exactly. Like if the customer is happy paying $20 a month for ChatGPT and they're just getting their heads around paying $100 to $1,000 a month, you either need a lot more customers to sign up for the $1,000. You know, and I say $1,000 a month, not that it's a plan that's offered, but all this is usage based now. Companies need to start being okay with that, plus their power users going to maybe 10 times that. And that that could happen, but it will need to prove out and the customers actually realizing the productivity value.
All right. Well, that was a very diplomatic non-answer that we will accept. Okay, now on to the next thing. The new buzzword, if you're trying to be in the AI world, the Pareto frontier. One, what is it? Two, how is Grok on it when they are only using 10% of compute for training relative to others, which I think are using far more of their compute for training? You know, how did they catch up so much here? And then maybe we'll transition into Grokbot, which is a separate thing entirely. But Frank, break down, what is the Pareto frontier for who is in the lead with AI models?
Okay, yeah, I think this is such an important concept because when people say frontier AI companies, they are often referring to the company that has the smartest or one of the smartest models, which would, you know, be OpenAI or Anthropic right now if you look across the benchmarks. SpaceX AI just came out with their latest Grok 4.6 that is in that same cluster on average of benchmarks as well. But what I think that does a disservice to is not just having the absolute smartest model, but having the smartest model at each level of cost. And that's really what the Pareto frontier helps you see, which is for each level of cost, what is the most intelligent model available? And that's important when you think of not every task requires the absolute smartest model. You don't need a PhD to summarize your emails, for example. And when you look across the Pareto frontier and the models that are on it, it is showing you at each level of possible cost that you're willing to spend or each level of intelligence the best model for you to pick. And I think this is important because by definition, if you're using a model that is not on the frontier, the Pareto frontier, you are overpaying because there's a smarter model for the same cost or a lower cost model for the same intelligence. And that's a really key point. If you look at those models that are on the frontier and the companies that are producing Pareto frontier models, it does not look like what you would assume. There's 16 models. If you just look at the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index, there's no perfect benchmark, but this is the broadest and most widely used one. There's 16 models on that frontier, and 14 out of 16 of them are from private model companies. There's only two open source models on the list, and they're, as you would expect, at the low end of the cost curve. So what that means is that companies like OpenAI, who has the most models on the frontier because their 5-6 line of models, Terra, Luna, and Sol, are so competitive at both cost and intelligence, that OpenAI actually dominates, has many points to capture on the frontier. And if you're using, if you want a low-cost model, 5-6 Luna is probably one of your best bets because of its positioning on that curve. The other companies that are there making up those 14 placements, OpenAI has the most. And then it is SpaceX, Meta. Each of those have two models on the frontier. And then Anthropic. I'm trying to see if I'm forgetting one. I think it's those. Google would be the fifth lab that is currently off the frontier. They do not have any models there. So those are the companies, the U.S. closed model companies or proprietary model companies that are dominating the frontier. And then there's DeepSeek and one other provider from China that are on the very, very low end. So I think that's a really important concept, and that's why I preach it to everybody. It almost feels like when people started talking about Jevons paradox for the first time, it's this like technical term that you may have heard before, but people weren't saying regularly. Now everybody's saying Pareto frontier, or at least on X they are. But I think it's really important to put into context when you're talking about this anti-token maxing and optimizing cost discussion, is that the companies that are leading at the high end of the frontier do have models at the lower end of the frontier too. And if you're not using those and they're Pareto dominant, you're overpaying.
I think this is an interesting point. OpenAI dominating the Pareto frontier. And yet it's like user interface matters so much because Claude and Anthropic with, Cowork really captured the early move in momentum. Now we're seeing that with Grok bot potentially early promises of interesting use cases there. But Frank, you dodged one question that I wanted. It's like, how did SpaceX do it, right? It's like everyone said they're out of the race. It was, just between OpenAI, Anthropic, Google. Were you surprised to see them be at the frontier here? Is there anything you can learn from it? And then you'll dive into Grokbot.
Yeah, I think it is really impressive how they've kind of come from a place of it looked like they were catching up and then they really fell off and then they've caught up again quickly. It's not too dissimilar from Meta, by the way, who also has a model on the frontier. Like they have done something similar. They rebuilt the team. They brought in new talent. They both brought in new data, if you think about it, and it's kind of emphasizing the three ingredients you need to have good AI, or at least good AI R&D, which is you need to have compute. SpaceX and Meta both have been procuring a lot of compute. You need to have good talent, and you need to have good data. And I think Elon rebuilt the XAI team. He brought in his best of the best from SpaceX and/or Tesla. And the Cursor acquisition brought in even more talent in this kind of like RL post-training domain, which is important for building frontier models that are efficient, and brought in all of the Cursor coding data. And I think that was really helpful in boosting their models' scores across these benchmarks. So you combine all that together and you get the output you might expect, which is that they more or less caught up. It also begs the question of what's happening with Google, because they have had, I guess, a talent drain. It's kind of one way. They have a lot of compute and they should have access to a good amount of data and an understanding of how to use it. And their latest 3.7 flash model is very efficient. You're getting good average intelligence and extremely fast speeds for what you pay, but it is not on that frontier. So there are better models for that cost level. You asked about Grokbot, which this is the second point where I will say they may have, SpaceX AI may have caught up in the average score on benchmarks. We'll see what the real world usage is, but the ultimate proof point is in the actual usage of that model in products that the company offers. And that is still just starting to play out or to play out. They released Grok Build, which is their coding agent. They will roll in, and I don't know what they'll do with Cursor, if they'll keep the brand or not. And then they also rolled out Grokbot, which I would say is their first co-working agent product. I want to say it's somewhat similar to Claude Cowork and ChatGPT Work, where it's for your average knowledge worker instead of for a developer. And it uses that kind of high-powered harness to get tasks done for you. It's focused on output, not answering questions in the way that these agents are. But it adds a new spin to it, where you create a bot or a team of bots, and each one is assigned their own computer that's a cloud-based Linux virtual machine. And they can control the computer for you, or you can log in and do whatever manual work you need to steer them in the right direction. So it's just giving, I would say, a very general tool set, and that general tool set is literally a computer to each of these agents, so that they have access to all or most of the tools that you would have when you're trying to accomplish tasks. So I would almost liken this to a Tesla Optimus move, where they're just taking the form factor that works for day-to-day work, which is humans in humanoid robots and computer in digital knowledge work, and giving it to Grok to control. So early reception seems good. It's very approachable and easy. I think that's important. The user experience still matters a lot with these things, especially because they can impress you by doing things you didn't think they could do, but also they have to you have to work with them to experiment and try these things out. It's not self-explanatory all the time. And we'll see how that goes. I think this is also an interesting tie into Tesla, because all of these virtual machines need to run on a CPU server. And Elon was talking on the latest Tesla earnings call about how they plan on putting Tesla AI computers and x86 CPUs, which would be like the Intel AMD CPUs that power most of the cloud, putting them at supercharger locations, and that there's 7 gigawatts of available capacity they could deploy into. It seems like the perfect compute environment to host Grokbot on. So that will be an interesting tie-in if they choose to do that.
Pretty remarkable. All right, as we wrap this up, Google, do they make it back to the frontier?
I would, if I had to bet, I would bet no, but it's not very far. Like it's not like 90-10. I would say it's more like 60-40 that they don't make it. And the reason I say that is because they still have these like massive amounts of compute. They have a unique chip architecture. They have a lot of data, and they have a lot of distribution to get the usage telemetry that they can use to improve the product. So they seem like they're in a horrible place right now. But we've seen Meta come back from the dead, and maybe they could do that as well. But if I had to put a wager on it, I would say no.
Wow, that is surprising. I thought you were going the opposite direction there.
So I mean, they could. I'm not saying they can't. No, I'm just saying it's sub 50%.
You hedged appropriately. I'm just saying I was surprised.
And I think that also speaks to, I guess, how bullish the environment is, or maybe I am, for OpenAI and Anthropic, like the companies that are currently on the frontier and have all these tailwinds working for them. Particularly because I think the models are so good that they're genuinely accelerating AI research now. And so if you have the best model today, like Anthropic reportedly had Mythos available in February, months before they talked about it publicly externally. That's a long time now to be using the best model before the rest of the frontier has it, or the rest of the field has it, to drive your own self-improvement.
ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public are separate, unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to any company marketing or selling the products or services of the others. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public make no representation or warranties regarding and expressly disclaim any responsibility or liability for any acts, omissions, losses, or damages of the other entities or their affiliates, officers, employees, or agents. No company shall be liable for any indirect, incidental, consequential, or special damages arising out of or in connection with this podcast or its contents. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK, and investors should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in this show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statement. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.